have to apologise for a little bit of lateness. A set of circumstances, shall we say. But at least I got here for the sermon, which is possibly a good thing. Happy New Year. Have we all made resolutions yet? No? Are you going to make resolutions? No. Why are you not making resolutions? Because you never keep them. Yeah. Because a year is a long time. Yeah, a year is a long time, if you, just in case you hadn't noticed. And the whole concept of a new year is that the year hasn't happened yet. That's quite amazing when you think about it. We're thinking about a period of time that hasn't happened. And quite often we make resolutions for the year, don't we? And then we break them. Sometimes even before the year starts, we manage to break the resolution. Is it about living more healthy? Is it about visiting more people, doing more good? Whatever it is, somehow it peters out around the middle of January, doesn't it? Sometimes as late as the end of January. So I'd like to introduce a new concept here. Instead of a Happy New Year, we're going to have a Happy New Day. Because you will remember, as I do, that a year is broken down into 365 days, or thereabouts. And in fact, there are 358 days to next Christmas. Have you got it in your diary? In fact, some people have got their things up already. So 365 days to come. I would suggest that we shouldn't be thinking about an annual resolution. We should be thinking about what can I do today? Because it's easy if you're looking forward from today, for today, and then at the end of the day, you can say, did I manage it? And if you did, then you'll be really happy. And if you didn't, well, it's only one day gone and there's still another 300 and some left. So, how do we start to make prepare for a new year? And whenever I think of the new year, I always think of Joshua. Nothing to do with Christmas and New Year. But this was a special event that was held for Joshua to hand over to whoever was going to follow him. Joshua was 110 years old. And he could look back on his life and he could see what God had done in guiding him, supporting him, helping him, all those things. The Battle of Jericho. But even before that, that one of the two spies that went into Canaan and came back and said, it's a good place to be. Might be a few little problems, but it's a good place to be and we should go. The first thing Joshua does when he decided that 110 he's going to die, he calls all the people together, or all the leaders of the tribes together, and he starts to talk to them. Let's just listen to a few things he says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river Euphrates and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates. I led him throughout Canaan. I gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac and Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. And then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. And when I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you and took possession of their land. And then you crossed the Jericho and came to the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hand. I sent the hornets ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow, so I gave you a land on which you did not toil, cities that you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Good when you look back, isn't it? And I wonder how many people remember walking around the walls of Jericho seven times and what happened next. I wonder how many people remember the battles, because remember, these were the leaders of the tribes. And then we come to this word, now, which means we now have a decision to make. You've seen what God's done for you in the past. We're standing here on the verge of the future, and there's a challenge coming. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. It's pretty simple, isn't it? And in that atmosphere of saying this is everything that's gone, God's done for you, isn't it just logical that you'd want to serve the Lord? So put away these false gods that you keep relying on. Stand away from them. And now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose today what you're going to do. Who you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, where's the argument? Not catching up, am I? Right, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So they stood there now, looking out there and thinking, what shall I do? Shall I serve God? And these are the leaders, remember. They have to go back and tell all the people so that the people would also respond. So choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, and my household, we will serve the Lord. And what did the people say? And now we come back to New Year's resolutions. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our journey and amongst all the nations through which we travelled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land." We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. New Year's resolution. We too will serve the Lord. And I'm sure on the last time he joined, got them all together and said, you need to serve God. And they would have said, yeah, we'll serve God. You've convinced us. And he's obviously met this before, has Joshua. Even though he's 110, he's quite switched on. So the people commit. We've got the argument first, haven't we? The challenge, the argument. When Joshua says to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord." That's pretty damning, isn't it? You are not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. But if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he's been good to you. Well, that's Joshua's view of the people. Their view of the people is, yep, you're right, we'll serve the Lord. And Joshua's saying, no, you're not even capable of doing that. But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." So now there's a real discussion going on between Joshua and the people. "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes," they said, "we are witnesses." Now, with any resolution, there has to be some action, hasn't there? Because if there's no action, there's no resolution, nothing will happen. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you, and yield your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And that phrase, "throw away," implies that these foreign gods are idols. You can pick them up and, you know, sort of put them in your corner of your house and whatever. Take them out and throw them away. But you can't do that with God, can you? God is a living God. He's a guide. He supports. He loves. So throw away the foreign gods that are among you, and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." That's three times they said that they would follow the Lord. I wonder where that happens elsewhere in Scripture. Yeah, Peter? Some people have to be told three times before they even get the message. And these people are no different. "On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed them decrees and laws." So he went over with them the commandments and the law of God. And he reaffirmed with them that that was the law of God and they had to obey it. Isn't it good occasionally to go back and look at the rule book? "And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God." And then he took a large stone and set it up there under an oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he says, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to God. Strange words, isn't it, for a stone? But that's the way they were in those days. When they made an agreement, they usually got a stone, popped it in there, and that became the reminder that the people would remember what they said when that stone was put there. Which is why in the sort of Middle East, you've got to be very careful where you walk, because the stones are all over the place for different reasons. So they'd committed, they'd made a resolution. We will serve the Lord. Now we come back to our resolutions, because if I carry on reading, you'll find that Joshua, at the age of 110, died, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance. Now they are without a leader at this point. The last thing we're going to sing in a few minutes is New Every Morning. And tomorrow is a new day. We will call it New Year's Day. Surprisingly, Tuesday is also a new day. So I think we don't make New Year's resolutions, we make New Day resolutions. And then we can check every day that we've been faithful to God. So what sorts of things should you be doing? And you can look back in your life, and you can look back in the life of the church, and you can see God's leading, can't you? I certainly can. And you can just think, that's what changed to make me go in this direction. And you can see God's pushing and leading and, you know, gently persuading. But what are you going to do? Because resolutions are not about being, they're about doing. And if you've got a resolution which generally says, I'm going to serve God, that doesn't help anybody. What you can say in the morning, I'm going to serve God today by doing the following. You know, you put your list together for the day. Most people do, either mentally or physically. All the things we're going to do. Well, go down that list and say, which of these show that I'm serving God? And that might just cause you to change the list. You may say, today I'm going to see this person that I should have seen months and months ago, and I'm going to have a chat with them. I'm not going to pressure them to come to church or anything. I'm just going to be friendly and helpful, but I'm going to do it in the name of God. So if you have a list of things that you're going to do tomorrow which would cause God to be pleased, that's the best thing that could happen. You can always have a little check, you know, at the end of the month, because even then, only 1 month's gone. And you don't have this feeling that towards October, November, you think, I should be thinking about a New Year's resolution, but I didn't do last year's, so I don't bother anymore. Happy New Day is the phrase. Not Happy New Year, not Happy New Month, but Happy New Day. And there are 365 opportunities for you to serve God a little bit each day. And when you just take the deep breath and say, no, I can't do that, I'm too old. Or I really am too busy. Before you find the excuse, God will never expect you to do anything that you're not capable of doing. It might be as simple as visiting someone. It might be as simple as volunteering to do something you've never done before, which could change your life. And so we come to our last hymn. And it is 480. New every morning is the love awakening and uprising prove. 480.